We welcome you back into United Bears Recap, and our weekly visit with an assistant coach today brings us assistant defensive line coach Clint Hurt. Clint, thanks for jumping on. 13 years in the college game, what made you decide to go pro?
It was a lifelong dream of mine if the opportunity presented itself, and fortunately enough it did, with a great organization. So it's definitely a dream come true.
What were some of the determining factors in that, and do you miss any aspects of the college game?
You know, the biggest thing is obviously when I first got into college coaching, I didn't have children. I was a single man. And obviously once now getting married, having two young children, you know, recruiting takes up so much of your time in college football. So the opportunity to experience the NFL, the highest level of competition in the game, was something that I definitely wanted to explore and became a goal and got that done. And it's worked out, you know.
Did you previously know any of the members of the coaching staff before coming over here?
Well, Coach Pasqualoni recruited me when I was in high school.
Really?
Yes,
okay.
He did. So, and he was quite disappointed I didn't go to Syracuse, but I was a Hurricane and went down to the University of Miami. So I was familiar with Coach Pasqualoni. Coach Groh and I worked together at Louisville in 2010, okay, before he went back to Alabama for a second time. And I met Coach Bischoff when I was at the University of Miami as a coach. And he was a high school coach at that time. So there was some familiarity with some of the guys on the staff.
Well, I'm glad you didn't break Paul's heart this time around. You know? Now, do you have a lot of the same teaching methods, techniques? I'm sure there's give and take with you and Paul and Mel in working with the defensive linemen. But have you been learning something new every day, just like the players seem to?
Absolutely. You know, the biggest thing, technique-wise, there's a lot of similarities. It's the terminology. Was different in how we taught things, but there's a lot of carryover. So it was actually something that was really a blessing because it came and married together very well. You know, just as long as I matched my terminology with his, you know, we were good to go. In terms of the schematic things, obviously being directed by Mel and some of the input that Reggie and Paul and their vast experiences has added to the staff, I've learned a lot of things and some different ways to do things and just thought process on the game and how to attack people has been something that has been invaluable, you know, for me being a young guy coming in and being humble and what can I take away from these guys because they've been successful coaches for a long time.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's start talking about some of these guys that you're working with. Let's start with the kids and kind of work our way inside out. How have ego and will develop, you know, compare them now to that first weekend after the draft when you first got your hands on them?
They've made tremendous strides, and that's what you want to see from those guys each and every day, you know, getting better as football players and understanding, you know, what it is to be a pro. You know, and the thing about it is we get great direction and leadership also from the veteran guys in our room like Jeremiah Ratliff and Jared Allen. But those two guys have really came on and getting consistent with their technique and fundamentals. You know, ego's big thing because he's such a big, strong, powerful man is, can you play each and every snap with leverage, play with pad level? Because if you can do that, you can't move that guy. He's too big, he's too strong, and he's surprisingly athletic, you know, for a big fella. You know, Will Sutton, the same things. Highly intelligent player, plays a game with his head. Quickness, he's gotten himself in so much better condition than even when he came in. You know, he's dropped a lot of weight, and he's played a lot of snaps even when Jeremiah was out for us for an extended period of time in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they came through clutch right at the beginning of the year when you needed them most. Talking about Jeremiah, what is his impact in that room and on those guys? Missed him for three games earlier this season, but an impact. The impact, what's the impact he makes both, you know, on and off the field? It seems immeasurable.
He's a heartbeat of that room. He really is. Consummate professional, you know, brings his lunch pail to work every single day. Attentive in meetings, you know, just a great guy for the young people to be able to look at and say, okay, this is what I need to do in order to have a long and really productive career in this league, and how he pays attention to film, the things that he looks for, you know, on the practice field, how he chases the football. Each and every snap, you see him, he's sound fundamentally. And that's something for Will and ego, and even for younger players like Cornelius Washington, to be able to see that every day, that's something that you have to appreciate.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time you saw a guy get 3.5 sacks and a half? That was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was an excellent performance. I just wish the end result was better.
Yeah. Stephen Paya is probably playing as well as he has in his 4 years as a Bear. Health, I know, has a lot to do with it. He had some issues last year, but What did you guys try to work on with him to try to find this level that he's at right now?
You know, just kind of rebuilding him in terms of with his feet was the big thing that we saw when he came in, and just looking at his film from previous years. You know, and he's shown flashes of it, and obviously had been coached very well. I know Coach Marinelli had done an excellent job with him as well. But getting his confidence back, and I think that came with him being healthy. And then getting the consistency with his footwork, you know, putting his hands on people, back to playing blocks, you know, and seeing that week in and week out of himself has got his confidence growing. You know, I think he'll continue to improve and play even at a higher level as the season progresses.
You know, when we talk about numbers, the public's wondering when those are going to come. But how confident are you that when it's all said and done here after week 17, you're going to see those usual double-digit sacks on Jarrett's part?
Well, I believe that because I just see the work that he puts in every day. And as you sit back and you study and you watch the tape, again, if you're not hitting the quarterback, if you're not moving the quarterback off the spot, you know, then there's reason for concern. You got to say, okay, what are we not doing to help put this guy in position to be successful? And for in Jarrett's case, do what he's been doing for a long period of time. You know, but that's getting done. You know, those things are happening. So you just keep chipping away at it, keep chipping away, and you're going to get there. You know, and sacks is a total defensive thing. Sacks and coverage all work together. So, and, you know, and we're getting that done on both sides. We're getting an excellent job out of our secondary, our linebackers, the front. We just got to have consistency in our play.
And I'm sure it's really complimentary among all those guys on the line. If one person does their job, the others follow, even though you may not get the glory. The guy who's got a lot of glory here the first half is Willie Young. What have you guys done to unleash the beast in him after having only 6 career sacks coming in the year?
You know, I give a lot. I like to give credit to the players, you know, because here's the thing. If they don't buy into it, it's not going to work. You know, and the one thing that since he's been here, he's bought into how we're working. You know, with Coach Pasqualoni, Coach Kim, myself, you know, he's like a sponge. He takes everything in, you know. So get back to working on his stance, his get off, what he sees when he has to attack an offensive tackle in his vertical set line. Studying, you know, how an offensive tackle protects. Is he a two-hand puncher? Is he a one-hand puncher? Is he aggressive? Does he lean when he strikes you? You know, those kind of things. That the intricacies of the game has become very important to him, and obviously he sees now how it can lead to him being successful.
Hope he keeps that fishing rod coming out throughout the second half.
So do I, but I have a good story about Willie.
Okay.
Willie's telling everybody he's an average fisherman. He's not.
No?
He's an electronic fishing rod. So he hits a button and it does all the work for him. So he's got a lot of people fooled right now.
All right. Is there a challenge like after the season's over?
Oh, I get seasick, so I can't challenge him on that.
Final story. I know you were at Louisville during Teddy Bridgewater's time. He is now within the division. If you just share with our audience the close relationship that you have with him, and which I'm sure won't be so close to the 2 weeks leading up to Vikings week.
You know, met Teddy when he was a sophomore in high school. I was at the University of Miami at that time, and ended up recruiting him, and obviously signed with the University of Louisville and changed the program around there. Very close with he and his mother, Rose Murphy, and he's like a son to my wife and I, and an older brother to my kids. He's an excellent young man, but he knows this already. I root for him in every other game of the year, but when it's time to play the Bears, we'll kick his butt, and you know, and I'll love him up afterwards. But he's an excellent young man.
Sounds like a formula there. Clint, thanks so much for sharing a little bit of your story with us and sharing what your knowledge and evaluation of some of the defensive linemen throughout the first half. Good luck in the second half.
Thank you very much.
All right, Clint Hurt, the Bears assistant defensive line coach, joining us here.